Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. I don't want to be long here with this. It's just really more of a, I guess, more of a devotion on devotions, I guess, to try to get you to think about your own home, okay? And the title of this message, Your Parents Are First Responders in Their Child's Salvation. And really, it's just kind of a something for you to think about and to ponder in your own home, and to try to encourage you to make sure that you're opening the Bible in your home and you know, devoting some time to the Lord every day in your home and praying every day in your home. Or, you know, you may not always get to, you know, our Bible time changes from day to day because the schedule changes and life changes from day to day. So, you know, that's going to happen. Let's pray and then we'll get into this. I'll kind of do some practical things here. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your protection, Lord. We know you're with us, and we know that you delivered us, Lord, from evil. And, Father, I just pray that we would continue daily to worship you and devote our lives to you and gather around the Word of God in our homes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, there's going to be differences in devotions. Now, this not only applies to children, but it applies to husbands and wives. It also applies to single men, single young men especially, that just sit down. It applies to them when they make themselves object lessons. Yeah, that's you. But it applies to you too, because, listen, the discipline and the principles that you put in now are going to play out when you are married. If you set a precedent now for your devotion, for your life of devotion to the Lord, your Bible devotions or your time in the Word of God in your home, if you set a precedent for that now, then that will continue on in your marriage, and that will continue on in raising children. Those principles just continue to go. You have to set those principles up, though. You have to live by those principles. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7. The Bible says this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So, this is a very practical lesson, and we're going to put this in the family series, okay? So, throw that back in that family series that we had a few months ago. I always add to it, but add that into that family series. But it is helpful for you that are maybe starting out in life, or maybe looking to be on your own, or maybe looking to be married, or have children, or you do have children now. It's like setting some principles up of good Bible devotion, good devotion to the Lord, good study of the Word of God in your home, and always bringing the Bible into everything that you do as the authority for everything that you do. So, you know, that's your Bible time is going to change in your home. Your devotions are going to change in your home with, like, more children added. You know, things will change. As your children get older, the dynamic of that changes. You know, really, you don't really preach a really long sermon to children in your home like that. You don't really do that. I mean, some of you know that more than others when you have real little ones, and it's like, okay, I've got about this much time to do this before everything explodes. So, you know, you know that you have to adjust that to that. As the older they get, the more that you can do, the more that you can talk about and things like that. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to change. And now maybe husband and wives sometimes, you know, things like that. So those things are going to change as you go. But there should be, the Bible should be opened up every day in your home by you, obviously, in your personal devotions. You better be reading your Bible. Listen, wives, you cannot live off your husband's spirituality. Now, they are to be strong, and you are the weaker vessel, but you cannot live off of their spirituality. That will not feed you. You must feed yourself, all right? A husband has a responsibility to teach his wife, but she has a responsibility to feed herself. She has a responsibility to open up that book and to learn and to read and to study to show yourself approved unto God. That's not just for men. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is up to you that you do those devotions. Our homes are only as strong as our wives are. Do you understand that, men? Our homes are only as strong as our wives are. They are only as strong as our wives are. I'm telling you that. That is the gospel truth when I tell you that. And wives, you must understand that as well. Your home is only as strong as your spiritual walk is going to be with the Lord. That you determine to devote yourself unto God, and that you will open the Bible, and that you will take an interest in the Word of God, and that you will learn and grow. You have a responsibility before God. So you're very important to that. You're a first responder to your children's salvation. That's what I want to talk about here a little bit with you, is you are a first responder. You're on the front lines. It's not me. I'm not the first one that has contact with them. You are. You are. You're the first one. So, number one, I just want to say this. Your family's spiritual walk is your primary duty. It's your primary duty. As a husband and wife, your family's spiritual walk is your primary duty. It's not mine. It's yours. First responders are very important. They're the first ones on the scene to take care of an emergency situation. They're the ones that are first to give care and keep them alive, to sustain them until they can get back up and get them to the hospital. One of the number one things, that's why we talk about, a tourniquet. We talk about somebody bleeding or something in a medical issue. You know, you got to get them to the hospital with blood in them, right? Right? Right, brother Dave? That's your name. Yeah, Dave. You're still here. That's we got to get them to the hospital with blood, right? They got to have blood in them to get them to the hospital. They're going to die without that. Okay, and that's what a first responder's job is to do, is get them to the hospital. Get them there with enough blood so they can survive, right? Get them the primary care they need right away. Now, while I don't believe the church is a hospital but a wellness center more, but if you will provide spiritual aid to your family, that's what the church is for, is to provide spiritual aid and to help you, and it's necessary for your spiritual growth, but the analogy fits. You as parents are the first responders. You must be prepared to nurture and raise your children in the Lord. And you prepare yourself by being in the Bible. You prepare yourself by studying to show yourself approved unto God yourself. Listen, it's easy to get cold. I'm telling you it is. It's so easy to get cold. It is so easy in your spiritual life. And by the way, that's the longer you're saved. It is so easy to get cold. It's so easy to get dry. I was going to preach a nice, soft, quiet sermon. I don't know what happened. It's so easy to get dry, though, isn't it? It's easy. So you know what happens when you do? God usually sends a trial your way. Heat things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. God sends a little fire your way. Got to heat it up a little bit, right, Brother Zach? Get things heated up a little bit. Give you a little bit of controversy in your life. Give you a little trial in your life. Why? So you look to God and look to answers for God. You as parents are the first responders. The urgency for their souls and their eternal well-being must be placed upon the first responders. You are first on the scene. You are in the mix with them every day. And you need to know how to give general medical or spiritual attention to them, like CPR, and how to use a spiritual trauma kit when things are at a desperate point in their spiritual walk. You have to know, by the grace of God, how to apply that, right? To stop the bleeding, to stop them. Your children are going the wrong way, or they're doing something wrong. You have to know how to respond to that, how to reply to that, how to take care of that. Same way a first responder does. God has instructed you as a husband to teach your wife and children the Word of God. That is a sacred duty, that you make sure that they are living by biblical principles. And that they understand those are biblical principles and why they are. Many modern day church programs have taken the urgency off the parents and said, just check your child in at the front door of the church house. And Billy the Barbarian or Yahoo the Youth Pastor We'll take them to play games with them and teach them how to crowd surf and stuff marshmallows in their faces and swallow goldfish. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that you and I are responsible for our children, that we are the first responders, that God will hold us accountable, and God will not hold us blameless if we will not, and we will not be able to blame His church for the spiritual walk of our children when we have neglected our first responder responsibilities. You know, it's important to make sure that mom is teaching them when you're not able to instruct and teach them the Bible. You know, there's some days where we all have things we have to do as men, and we're out running around doing things and get things done. You know what? Mom needs to be there and holding that standard up and teaching the Word of God to them. That's important. That's very important. You and I cannot blame the church for our family not growing in the Lord. Yes, the church is responsible for its members and has been instructed in Ephesians 4 to edify and to build up one another in our most holy faith. But that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility in the home. Too many people want to blame a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school class. But there is no Sunday school class in the New Testament. There's no age-segregated spiritual teaching in the Bible. And there's no excuse for you to shirk your responsibilities and depend on the church to take care of them for you. That's not enough. It's not, I will promise you, you are with them more than we are together here. We are together 2 days a week. We're together one day, long day a week on Sunday, and then for a few hours on a Wednesday and whatever things we do together, but we're not always together like that. But listen, you're with them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as mom or as a family, and you have to understand that you have more influence on them than any. You want to know how I know that and how that example lives out? The Bible says, but another thing, we talked to a young man yesterday. I believe Brother Dave talked to this young man, and Brother Garrett did. They're both talking to him for a long time. He grew up at a King James only fundamental Baptist home, right? Said he was an atheist. And one of the things he alluded to was the fact that there was a lot of hypocrisy there. He didn't want to say it right away, though. But it seemed like, wasn't he alluding to that? My father. His father was a pastor. He said, my father. Well, why? Because his father didn't practice what he preached. Right. Mm-hmm. That's how he saw his father. And we can all make those mistakes, so we have to be careful. None of us are experts at parenting or anything like that. Boy, do I know it. But the point is that your children, you can't give your children faith, but you can show them the faith, and you can instruct them in the Word of God, and at the end of the day, they're going to have to make their own decisions. But they need to understand that you believe that book and you follow that book and you obey that book and you submit to that book. And when you're wrong, you get right. And when they see that, they'll know that that's real. They'll know it's real. Listen, I'm not mad at any church out there that has a Sunday school. And I actually think a Saturday school for lost people would be a good outreach. But to start churches and possibly win people to the Lord along with street preaching is important. But there's no sin in evangelizing the lost. But that's not what Sunday is for. That's not what today is for out here in the assembly, for us to come together and evangelize the lost in here and bring them in. It's like some lady asked the other night, well, what if I come to your church? Brother Finney, like, well, the church is for members. Now, you can come, I told her, but if you cause trouble, you ain't staying. You ain't staying here. You're going to cause trouble. You can go. Well, that doesn't seem very friendly. Well, I think it's real friendly. You know, there's another 6 days of the week, though, if you want to use that as evangelism. One of the problems, and to teach and preach to kids, that's important. That's what our forefathers did. We have to understand the church is for the church. It's your duty, though, to teach your children. That's your duty. The command is given to you to train up a child. Will you see this? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. That's your duty. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It says his mother. Isn't that interesting? It's because mom's with him all the time. Mom's with him a lot, or should be. Right? Or should be. You have to teach them the scriptures and have family Bible time and prayer time and family altar with them where the Bible is brought out in the home and instruction is given from the words of life. Ephesians 6:4. Turn there, Ephesians 6:4. You know what? And it's not always perfect the way I'd like it to be in my home. I don't know if yours is the same way too, but sometimes, man, you don't get as long as you'd like to have. You don't prioritize sometimes like you should. Things aren't done exactly the way you want it. Sometimes you don't have the prayer time that you need to have as a family. You're teaching your children to pray, and sometimes you don't get, I mean, I get my prayer time in, but sometimes as a family coming together every day, it doesn't happen all the time like it should. More time in prayer. We always need that. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you're to nurture them and bring them up. And then that's at home. That's the home. That's the responsibility of the home. You can't abdicate that responsibility to somebody else. You've got to take that responsibility. Next, examples of family devotions in the Bible. How about Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1. The Bible says this, and the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know, God saw him and his family, and he knew that Noah was walking with him, and he was a righteous man that was leading his family. How about Genesis chapter 8, verses 20? Let's turn there. Looks like Noah knew something about a family altar. Look at that. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every very clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You know, that wasn't something new that Noah did. You know, when it comes to having a family altar, having a devotion time to the Lord, right? They were all together after the flood there, serving the Lord and offering a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. It was his family. It was his duty as a patriarch, right? You have a duty as a patriarch as well. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That shows that Noah's family was blessed and he was a godly man and all his sons were given a blessing. How about Abraham? Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Abraham was certainly not a perfect man, as you and I are not perfect men. But you know what? In Genesis chapter 18, what we do see is a pattern of devotion to the Lord. That's what we see. How's that going for you? How's your devotion to God going? How is your daily walk with God in the Word of God? What are you learning? Can you share something? I don't mean like right now, but can you share something that you've learned with somebody? Is there something that you could say every day that you could share with somebody that you could say, you know what? I learned this from my Bible today. I learned this from God today. God revealed this unto me today from the Scriptures. I studied this in the Bible today. I learned this from the Word of God today. Can you say that? I'm not talking about today specifically. I'm talking about on a normal basis. Can you say that? Are there times when you can say that you know for sure that, hey, listen, I learned something from my Bible? Now, what I'd recommend is a pen and a highlighter, and I recommend taking notes and writing things down and highlighting things, right? Keeping notes or some kind of a journal, right, with thoughts. And things that God has showed you. Why? Because then you're not just flippantly reading through the Scriptures as fast as you can to get your three hots and a cot in and then you're done for the day. Because that's what it's like. It's like prison. You read it like it's a prison book. I have to read my 3 chapters a day. I get it done in a year. That's what I'm going to do. I've put in my time. And get yourself a Bible tattoo, and then you're all good.
Right.
So the point is, are you learning something from it? Can you say that I learned something today from it? Could you show somebody in your Bible what you learned? Is there a note of it? Underline, highlight, something where you say, hey, listen, I learned this from God today. I'm telling you, folks, it's important. You got to have something to be able to feed other people with. If you can't even feed yourself from the Word of God, how are you going to help anybody else? How are you going to be any good to your children or anything like that? Some of you are struggling spiritually and don't have the power of God like you need, and you're not nourishing your spirit. And you're like fighting and clawing without the power of God. And you're going off without your armor on, and you're wondering why you're failing miserably so much and falling down so much and miserable. I'll tell you why, because you're not in your Bible every day. You're not reading the Bible every day. You're not growing in the Lord. You're not going to grow like that. You're not. You don't grow without spiritual food. Try going as long without your Bible as you do. Try going without food as long as you go without your Bible. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer me like directly because I really don't want to know. But if you did that comparison, would you be starving right now? That's all I want to know. I don't want to know personally. I want you to get along with God and admit that to God. You don't admit it to me. But let me ask you a question. Would you be starving right now if you went as long without food as you went without being in your Bible? I'm talking in the Word of God, fervently, earnestly studying the Bible, and in the Bible, learning something from God. Would you be starving right now? That's a good question, isn't it? Don't answer me. Take it to God. Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse number 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Look at this. Listen. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God said that he knew that Abraham would command his household and he would have a time of worship or devotion to the Lord. How do we know that? Because Abraham already had the pattern of it. That's how God knew it too. Because Abraham was the friend of God. You know, Jacob took his family and put away their gods and built an altar to the Lord in Genesis 35. He said, let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. You know, you need to make an altar in the home. There needs to be a family altar, right? You need to make that altar. It needs to be there. Joshua spoke as the head of his family, and he would lead them spiritually. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. Joshua said this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that wasn't a grand suggestion that he had made. He didn't ask his wife permission if that was okay to do. Right? Are you okay if we serve the Lord? He didn't do that. Right? Wasn't a very good feminist, was he? No, he was a leader. He was a warrior and he was a leader. And what did he say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you what we're going to do by the grace of God. He says, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve those other gods. You know, we need some men that will stand up today and lead their homes spiritually. It should not be said that your wife is the only spiritual one in the house. Men should be leading and guiding their families in the Word of God and taking the responsibility. If there ever was a time, it's today that men need to be men of the book. If there is no man in the home or a man cannot teach the Bible, then a woman has to step up to the plate and teach her children, which God has given her. Right? And need to teach it. They need to do it anyway. But the point is that a man should be overseeing that. A father should be overseeing that, making sure that's being done. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. Does that happen? What is your conversation in your home? Is your conversation that becometh of the gospel? Is it a Bible conversation in your home? Do you talk about the Word of God? Is it part of your conversation? Is it part of your manner of life? Do you talk about the Word of God? It says, when thou sittest, right? Bind them for a sign upon your hand. By the way, you know what the Antichrist is going to do? They're going to put a mark in their right hand or their forehead, right? Wonder where you got that idea from. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. So when you're sitting in your home, the Word of God ought to be part of the conversation. And when thou walkest by the way, it's going down the street, right? When thou liest down, when you lie down, the Word of God, think about the Word of God, meditate on what you've learned, maybe help you with the nightmares. Bad dreams. Huh? Maybe help you, the last thoughts that you had before you go to bed are the Word of God, that you've meditated on God's Word. Not some stupid YouTube video, some stupid joking video that puts brainless, mindless activity into your brain. But the Word of God. Right? Think about that. When thou liest down and when thou risest up. Boy, you know, to end your day with the Word of God and to begin your day with the Word of God. See that? What he said. He's speaking in tongues. I can hear him. Angelic, yeah. When thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Amen. Nothing wrong with having the Word of God written on different parts of your house, right? Think about those things. Right? Maybe. Man is the overseer, but mom will be with them all the time. She'll be there. Look at this testimony here. Ladies, I want you to pay attention to this very closely, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. You men can pay attention too, but I want the ladies to pay attention to this. I think sometimes you minimize the importance of your ministry. You really do. You know what's really sad? most ladies have no idea what their ministry really is. And I'm not talking about what you do in an assembly. Because that's not your ministry. That isn't. Your ministry is your husband and your children. That's your ministry. As a wife. And as a wife, if you have no children, then your ministry is your husband. And it's just as complete as someone that does have children. And if you're single and you're not married, then your ministry is to wait upon the Lord without distraction and to be a servant. That's what it is, to be a servant. That's your ministry. To study, to be quiet. Right? To have a meek and quiet spirit. But as a wife, if you are married and you have children, your ministry is your husband first, not your children first. That's what gets backwards. That gets messed up sometimes. But it's your husband first. Then it's your children. So it's the way God intended it to be. It doesn't say that the wife is the helpmeet to the children, does it? It says to her husband. Amen. Sometimes that gets lost, doesn't it? That understanding gets lost. Okay, but listen to this. Second, I feel like doing a radio show about just that sometime, just a really long one, and deal with that. I just think that would go great. You know what I haven't preached on in a really long time? That's what I was saying. I have not, and the first time I preached it, I thought all the ladies were going to kill me. How many sermons do you see on sermon audio about that? The reformers preach on it sometimes. Not very many. No, the audio is horrible, and I don't think it can be cleaned up in those 8 parts. But I have no problem with doing that whole thing again. And I could do that on the radio, and I think I might. That's a good idea. That's the feminist series with the 8 parts that are on there? That's what that is. That's a book. Well, that's a group of preachers. That book is from a group of Baptist preachers that fought the feminist movement, the women's suffrage movement that was coming into the... Who's listened to those before? Just raise your hand. Who's listened to those? Okay, I know Dad's listened to them. He just don't remember. He was there. Dad says he's too much of a feminist to listen to those. No, Dad just didn't hear me. Anyway, if you haven't listened to those, listen to them. It'll make you mad. Maybe if you're a lady, you might get a little upset. Maybe a little bit. Or if you're a man, you might get upset. Maybe some men might get upset too, brother. They are old. That was back when I was. Was I nicer then? Maybe. No. Am I a little nicer now? I think so. I think so. Yeah. No, I am now. No. I was a little... Well... What's that? Yes, yeah. The Lord has to change it, but... It just changes the way I preach a little bit. It's changed a little bit. A little bit. I'm going to do that over again. I think I will. I'll just do it by myself, and I'll just go through that whole thing. That book's hard to find, too. A lot of history in that. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And those recordings were awful, though. Why were they so bad? I think it was Jessica's fault. I don't know. No, we were. Was it? It was Andrew's fault. Sorry, Jessica. It wasn't your fault. It was Andrew's fault. What'd you make me record those like that for? What happened? Blame Andrew, not Jessica. Jessica's sermon, the one she recorded for us, turned out good. Those were on, remember that sermon.net/Pastor Cooley? Nobody knows about that. That is hidden. Those are the secret files. The lost files of Pastor Cooley. Never to be. You can't find them now. They're off. I have them locked down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. But ladies, I want you to pay attention to this, honestly, because I think you miss your ministry here. Because there's a lot of good lessons here in these pastoral epistles. You know, Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles there. And they're called that because they were young Timothy and young Titus. Paul was educating them on the ministry. And he mentions this. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Well, how do you think he knew them? "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, Satan's plan, and I really don't want to stay on this too long because I'll have you here till midnight, but Satan's plan is to make you look for grass that is greener on the other side so you won't pay attention to what you have right in front of you. Because there's a wonderful ministry right in front of you for a lady that you are raising the next preachers. You are raising the next preachers' wives. You are raising the next Christians that will go out into the world. Or you'll raise the next scared, weird snowflakes that are out there, right? But you are raising them. You are the one that will be raising them for the glory of God. Okay, so he says they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," said it wasn't fake faith, "which dwelt first in" who? Pay attention, look at this. "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois." Amen. What a name, Lois. That's a neat name, isn't it? "And thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also." Wow, how about that? So Grandma Lois, right, and Mother Eunice taught him the Bible. Doesn't mention his father, but mentions them. Next, prayer time along with Bible time is important. You know, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." We have to teach our children to pray. It's a challenge, especially the real little ones. You teach them to pray very simply, but it's a challenge when you go to sit down with them because they want to laugh. You know, they don't understand the seriousness of it. But we have to teach our children to pray. We have to teach them to pray that prayer is not just for public life. If you want to raise a hypocrite little devil, just show them that we only pray in front of people in that church at no other time. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Now, the NIV changes that to preaching, so people think that you're not supposed to preach in the corner of the streets. Huh. "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Show them prayer is not vain repetition. Teach them to pray of things they need to pray for. One of the ways we can encourage that is our children know that we have a time of prayer. You know, my children know that when dad goes on a bike ride or he goes up, he's going to pray for an hour somewhere. If he goes downstairs or goes to the office or whatever, he's going to pray somewhere. That's what he's doing. He's going to pray. And mom tells him, "No, don't go into the room. Dad's praying for a while. Just stay out of there. He's got to pray." So, and then when somebody calls, like, "No, I don't answer the phone. I'm praying." you know, I'm not going to be bothered with that. I'm going to go pray. You know, that's what I'm doing. And they understand that. That's important to me. That's part of my walk with the Lord, that I've got to pray. And I know it's important to me that I've got to pray. I've got to be praying. I've got to spend that time in prayer with the Lord. You know, that's important. You know, teach them that prayer is being thankful to God for what he has given our children. And they need to hear us thanking God for things. When's the last time your children heard you thank God for something that he's done? When's the last time you prayed in front of your children and they heard you thanking God for them? Thanking God for them. Thank you, Lord, for my children, for my wife, for my family, for the food that you've given us, for the home that you've given us, for the church you've given us, for the friends you've given us, for the nation that we live in, for everything. God, thank you for this. When's the last time you did that? Do your children hear you thank God? Do they hear you praise God or complain? What do they hear? How about your wife? Does she hear you thank God, or does she hear you complain about what God has done for you? Wife, does your husband hear you thank God and praise God, or hear you complain about your life? You know, teach your children very simply that prayer is a time of asking God for our daily needs and for the needs of others. And it should be taught to our children. Teach them to go to God, the God of the Bible, for their needs. Now listen, I know there's some people that think that, well, they're not saved, so God won't hear their prayer. That's not true, because Cornelius wasn't saved and God heard his prayer. That'll mess up some people's theology right there. If you go look at that story, Cornelius was not saved. He wasn't saved yet, but God heard his prayer. We should teach our children. Now, here's a few simple pointers on prayer. Let each member of the family pray. I'm going to give you some practical things here. Let each member of the family pray. Prayer should be simple and direct, asking God and thanking God in their own words, not yours. Teach them to pray in their own words. We should teach our children to thank God for something specific they have received, so they always remember God is the giver of good things. That we're only the conduit he uses to bless them. Make sure your children understand. Make sure that your children understand that, you know what, when we give you something, it is because God has allowed us to give you something. It is not because we're of us. They need to learn to thank us and be kind and polite, but they need to thank God for something. So when you've bought them something or you've done something special for them, tell your children, listen, you should, and when it's time to pray, you say, hey, do you have something you could thank God for? What has God done for you today that you can be thankful for? That's in their terms so they can understand that. Never, ever teach children to repeat a prayer word for word. That's vain repetition. It's not biblical or meaningful. Even our little ones can thank God for the food, the games they get to play, even when they get to go somewhere or do something, whatever they've been blessed with. When they repeat the same things over and over again, remind them of the other blessings and needs and other people who need prayer. That teaches them to pray. Every family should give thanks for their food. You know, 10 times in the Word of God, Jesus gave thanks and prayed for the food he received. 6 times more, we're told he blessed the food that he received and gave others. The Bible says in Luke 22:19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm sorry, but nobody ever told me why we, when I was a kid, I don't remember anybody ever telling me why we pray for our food. I never had anybody explain that to me ever. I don't remember it. I don't remember anybody explaining that to me. But it's a biblical example, obviously. Mark 8:6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples and set before them, and they did set them before the people. How about Matthew 15:36? He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and break them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. on and on and on. Acts 27:34. Wherefore I pray to you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Paul was praying for that food, right? And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. See, he gave God glory. He prayed in front of all those people and gave God the glory for his food and for taking care of them. The Bible says, then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Right? There's a special promise for those who will pray. The Bible says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it would be received with thanksgiving. It says every creature. Right? For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We need to teach our children to pray when they are afraid. You teach them to pray when they're afraid. When you say, oh, I had a bad dream, I'm scared to go to sleep. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You need to go to God. I tell my children, I said, well, you need to pray. You need to go to God. I'll pray for you, but you need to go to God. You know, for a test, tell them to pray. After or during a storm, teach them to pray. Or safety when traveling, teach them to pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray without ceasing. All right, we're going to close here with some tips for Bible time in the home. Number one, all the families should be involved. Singing can be a part of it if possible. If it's possible to do that, you should have some singing involved. Prayer should be a part of it if possible. Meal times may be a good time because everyone is together. Keep it simple. A devotion book can be used along with the Bible. Scripture memorizing can be part of it, right? Bible storybooks can go along with it as well. Nothing wrong with that. Children's hymns can be sung as well. Andrew likes to sing children's hymns. Isn't that right, Andrew? I like to sing them too. Prepare ahead of time the Bible verses you want to use. If you're in your Bible, then it shouldn't be difficult for you to find something to teach your family. Stop and apply the scripture to everyday practical things. There ought to be things that you apply the Bible to. Now, be careful not to use every mistake a child makes and turn Bible time into a browbeating session. Right? But you can use practical examples of things when you're correcting and instructing your children that will show them how the Bible is God's book of instruction and love to us and is applicable to all situations and scenarios. Teach them stories from the Bible and have them recite or read things as well. Ask questions and reward right answers and good behavior. You know, for some reason, they're just thinking, oh, well, I don't want to bribe them. God's rewards aren't bribes to us. God rewards us. There's nothing wrong with rewarding good behavior. Right? Use the Bible time as a training ground for teaching them to sit still in church. Amen. It does, all right? Andrew's strangling one right now. Stop it. I'm just kidding. Hold one tight. Hug him tighter. It's funny, isn't it? Stop resisting. If you hold them long enough, they just go to sleep. Not the way Joshua was talking about. But. You know, don't expect miracles out of babies or perfection out of children. Be realistic. Right? Here's another one. Expect the devil to fight you. Expect the devil to fight you. There'll always be something else you can do. You'll never have enough time. It'll always be harder than what you think it should be. Expect opposition to prayer and the Bible time. Kids screaming, people calling, knocks at the door. Everybody has to go to the bathroom. Right? Everyone needs a drink of water. Does it sound familiar to anybody? Well, Luke says, I just did that last week. That's so funny. I did it three times. No, I'm just kidding, Luke. Luke's raising his hand because he's like, yep,
I watched all those little ones do that.
Right? It happens all the time, doesn't it, Luke? Gotta go potty. Sure you do. I need a drink. Because you do know that when children, there's two times that children need a drink desperately, and they're going to die if they don't get it. Time number one is during Bible time. Time number two is when they're in bed. There's something about that bed that turns into the desert. And their throat is extremely dry. And they have no saliva in their mouth. And if they do not get a drink of water, they will die overnight. Sound about right? Yeah, happens all the time. People knock at the door, right? Distractions. Right? The devil hates it that the Bible is in the book is the book of the home, and he'll stop you at every turn he can. He'll discourage you and try to get you to give up on it when the schedule is hard, when you have minimal time, and when you're rushed. Short devotion, though, listen to me, short devotion is better than no devotion. Just remember that. Sometimes you'll have more time than others. By the way, use the car rides to do devotions as well. Those are a good time. The little ones will probably fall asleep. Because they usually do that when you put them in the car. At least mine do. It's the only time they sleep. They don't sleep any other time. If I lived in my car, I'd get more sleep. My van is very big, and you can sleep in it. By the way, great time to sing and give a Bible verse to your children as well when you're in car rides. So, you know, those are just some practical observations, little thoughts there. Of importance, but you know what? These fundamentals are the things that we miss, that when we don't follow through on, makes life, our spiritual walk gets dry, gets cold. It's easier to sin when you're not in the Bible every day. It's easier to sin when you're not praying every day. Amen? And when you get spiritually weak, it's easy to sin, easier to sin. Amen? So stay in your Bibles, and you're the first responders to your children. You're right on the front lines. And to yourself, by the way. You know, they say if you have a trauma kit and you get injured, you have to learn to apply that kit to yourself first. Right? So you have to learn to put a tourniquet on when you're injured to keep the blood in you so you can get to the hospital. Right. Put the oxygen on your face first, they tell you on the plane, and then smash it in the face of your neighbor. I've been next to some people before. Never mind. But the point is that, yeah, you put that on first, right? Because if you can't breathe, you can't help anybody else. Right? Same thing goes to your spiritual walk. If you're not in the Bible, nourishing, getting the nourishment that you need, you're going to be a spiritually malnourished Christian. Remember that sermon? Man, that's old. I think I preached it again once, though. I think Jacob was here. I don't know. So, anyway, just think about those things. Good thoughts, all right? Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We pray that you'd bless us now as we go. Thank you so much for this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.